This is Jay Sekulow on today's broadcast, Profiling a Mass Murderer.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everyone, welcome to the broadcast. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to look at basically a profile of what has happened in Las Vegas, because the fact of the matter is, and this is a very, very interesting and difficult case. Interesting because there are so many moving parts to it and so many unknown facts that are trying to figure out. But what we do know now, and you look at this, and we'll be joined by our senior counsel, Andy Economou, who, of course, is a former U.S. attorney, on how you look at these cases. But here's what we know. 64-year-old Stephen Paddock is the individual that engaged in the deadliest mass shooting in modern United States history. That's number one. Right now, 59 dead, 527 injured at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival, of course, in Las Vegas. Police have recovered 23 guns from the hotel room. 23 guns from the hotel room, 19 guns from Paddock's home in Mesquite, along with explosives and several thousand rounds of ammunition. Now, he also has multiple evidence, so we're going to talk about how all of that plays into it. What are the actual crime scenes here? But there's another aspect of this, and that is, and the FBI has said they have no evidence to show any connection to international terrorism, but interestingly, ISIS has now claimed three different times that Stephen Paddock was a member of ISIS, was a soldier of the caliphate. Here's their statements on the Amaq News Agency, which is basically their official news agency. The Las Vegas attacker is a soldier of the Islamic State in response to calls to target coalition countries. ISIS also claimed the gunman, quote, converted to Islam several months ago. They also released a communique saying about 600 people were wounded and injured from the Crusaders in a blessed attack in the American city of Las Vegas. And there was also, of course, ISIS had earlier this year had called for actual actions to be taken in Las Vegas. Now, there is no evidence so far that the FBI has published indicating any connection to international terrorism. And then the individual, Paddock's girlfriend, who was in Tokyo at the time. So this is it's an unbelievably complex matter that with a lot of unanswered question and a horrific tragedy in the United States. And our thoughts and prayers with the people of Las Vegas and the families and people probably from all over the country that were there for this festival.
And we know this is a very important question to answer, not just for security going forward. Obviously, to know if it's connected to any kind of organization or political belief or religious philosophy, anything like that would be important to know. But it's not just important for all of us going forward for security. It's very important for those families who have lost to know why this person did this. And it doesn't take away any of their pain. But I think for all Americans, it helps to be able to kind of inside your mind think, okay, this person did this because this happened to them, or they believed this evil philosophy, or they were part of this evil group. When you just leave that big question mark out there, I mean, yes, there are sick people, but so far, not a lot of evidence of that, not in and out of psychiatric hospitals, not in and out of law enforcement custody, not a lot of criminal activity. So I think that's what is so disturbing to people now following this. I don't like focusing so much on this, on the people who carry out these attacks, but usually we know who they are and why they did it by this time. You know, we said yesterday on the show, you said less than 24 hours would probably know. I thought all day we were going to be coming back to radio.
So far, either this guy had no footprint or the FBI and the local officials are just not releasing the information. Logan, you know this area pretty well. This was a gathering of almost 20,000 people, they said.
I think over 20,000 people that were there, yes, for the concert. Yeah, I think it was back behind sort of the resort. It's interesting that they would, it couldn't just be random. He had to have been selected these rooms and that kind of thing.
Weeks,
if you want to have your
like
voice heard, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Join us on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter @JaySekulow. But again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Our senior counsel, former U.S. Attorney Andrew Conmo, is joining us. Let me read you a response that was put out by, again, the FBI and Department of Justice. So far have said they have found no evidence of any connection between Stephen Paddock and any international terror group. What's interesting here, and I certainly don't know of any evidence. So I mean, and the FBI is saying they don't know, and I would have no basis to know other than what you all know. And they've said so far there's none. But it's interesting that ISIS has doubled down now, tripled down on this. They issued in multiple statements, and then they issued a statement yesterday, again, through their news agency. And this is what it said. I'm reading exactly what they wrote, so the English is not so great, but you need to get a sense of what they've written. In response to the call of the commander of the faithful Muslims, and then they reference Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, he, of course, is supposed to be the caliph of this ISIS, targeting the Crusader Alliance and careful monitoring of the Crusader gatherings in the city of Las Vegas in the United States, a soldier of the caliphate, Abu El-Bar, that is supposed to be Stephen Paddock's name that they gave him, may God accept him, equipped with machine guns and ammunition, buried in a hotel, I think they mean buried in a hotel, overlooking a concert, and fired at a crowd of them, including 600 between killed and wounded, until the soldier's ammunition was finished, and he became a martyr, as Allah and his messengers and the believers believe, but most people do not know. Now, what is fascinating about this, and what is interesting, you got to understand the nature of crime scenes. So the crime scene, Andy, is not just the concert venue. There's multiple crime scenes here.
Multiple crime scenes. Crime scenes include the concert venue, the hotel room, the corridors going into the hotel lobby, the elevators, his houses, properties that he had, telephones that he may have used, the mobile devices that he may have had, text messages, emails. The crime scene and the crime gathering areas are multiple.
And here, this guy had, Jordan, a lot of real estate, at least in outside of Las Vegas, in Florida, in
Northern Nevada.
Texas, Northern Nevada as well. His family said he didn't seem to be a gun enthusiast yet.
So they were wrong on that. They were wrong on that. So we know the family who was the one who also described him as a millionaire.
Yeah.
They were also described him as someone who was not a gun enthusiast, who maybe had a couple of guns, which is pretty average for a lot of Americans. I mean, a lot of people listen to this show. That would not be outside the norm of American person if it's his normal profile. That being said, the family was wrong on the on the guns. So could they be wrong on his financial standing as well? Maybe. I mean, yep. So that's why he's like it's like a ghost. Tracking a ghost looks like a terrorist. Oftentimes, that's how terrorists want to
portray themselves,
and
really.
And get to the point where they can.
He had explosives in addition to weapons. He had explosive devices. I mean, let's look. If this guy, his motive. Look, we know that the concert venues have been targets of these terrorist groups, yeah, like ISIS. You had that in Manchester. Now, again, let me play with the FBI here. So I want to be very clear. We're not saying this guy had any relation with any international terror groups, but I don't think you eliminate any of that until you can definitively say it's not. Well, here's what the FBI's most recent statement is.
As this event unfolds, we have determined to this point no connection with an international terrorist group. As this investigation continues, we will continue to work with our partners to ensure that this is factually, thoroughly, and absolutely investigated to be able to bring comfort and peace back to this community.
So, Andy, of course, the truth of the matter is they're not. What the FBI director there said is absolutely correct. There's no connection that they haven't seen or they're not telling us about. But you look at the modus operandi of what happened here. The fact that ISIS has been calling for attacks in Las Vegas particularly. I mean, they've been very specific. They use concert venues. We know they use weapons. This guy had explosives. I mean, why explosives? Where was the woman that he was traveling with? Why was she in Japan at the time that this happened? There's just a lot of questions here. So as a prosecutor, an investigator, how do you start putting this together? What's kind of the foundation?
It's an enormous puzzle that you're going to put together, but the foundation really begins with starting to look at his connections, his texts, his emails, his computers, his affiliates, the people that were living near him or that were aware of who he was in this town of Mesquite, Nevada. You talk to the family. You find this girlfriend and you start talking to her about what she's got to have known. You talk to the hotel staff. That he was in a hotel for 4 days. Didn't they notice a room full of guns and ammunition and suitcases and things like that? Which
they said he came
questions.
In with 10 suitcases, but he was in a large suite, and we don't know if it came over at one time. Now, you know, the attack in Paris in 2015 was also a concert venue. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's no question that concert. Now, he may have just gotten an idea from them. I mean, it may be that he just got an idea from them, but we don't know.
Except for the way he carried it out,
yes, was well thought out.
A new style of terror attack, this from the air, sniper style, battlefield style attack. ISIS has snipers in the battlefield, but they have not tried to employ that so far in terrorist attacks. I mean, obviously they could be in Europe and try these kind of methods, but they've tried the more explosive type or the ramming a cart. But it may be that if you are, you have more access to large weaponry in the United States than you do anywhere else in the world, legally, even.
Yeah. So this guy had an incredible arsenal. By the way, our friend Vince Santucci was, they had go ahead.
They had their service last night.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be, I haven't taken a long look at the whole thing yet, but it seems to be a lot of people came out to definitely support. They were open all day. So.
Yeah. And I'm sure the churches in the community are still doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, you got to meet the needs of the people and this is also, and I think Logan said this yesterday in the broadcast, we think of Las Vegas as the residents of Las Vegas, but this is, you're talking about an international town. I mean, there are people literally there from all over the world. So all over the world. All right, let's go ahead and let me ask this question, Andy, because this is the one I think that's on a lot of people's mind right now. And that is, you said multiple crime scenes. So you've got the concert, the area where they held the concert, this open area.
Right.
You have the hotel rooms where this guy was for 4 days. What about the staffs of the hotel and starting to question them?
I think that they should send a team of agents or investigators to talk to everybody who was working in that hotel and who may have seen him. And that includes custodial staff, the staff at the bars, the staff at the gambling tables, where apparently he was engaged in a great deal of his time in gambling, the people at the front desk. You want to know everything you can about him, and you put a team of investigators on that immediately to nail down their stories about this, Jordan labeled him a ghost, but certainly a ghost who had the ability to do some terrible things.
Yeah. I'm also trying to figure out the ISIS thing. I know I keep coming back to that, and part of it is because we did that book on ISIS years ago, 4 years ago. But this, them doubling down on this, or as Will said, our producer said, like crippling down on this, is so bizarre because this guy, profile-wise, doesn't fit their MO at all.
He's not young, he's not a young male who was, traveled overseas. We saw that with San Bernardino. We've seen that he has no known connection to the Islamic faith. We've seen that with like the attacker Orlando obviously came from an Islamic background, pledged allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, as he was carrying out the attack and right before he carried out the attack. So, and I think that that was determined to be someone who was inspired by, but no, not maybe directed by ISIS. They haven't found, either they're not telling us or they have not found that. And at this point, though, in the investigation, I think it actually makes people not feel better, but be able to accept what occurred and understand what occurred.
Well, I think people want to know
if
the
they
answer
knew
to
it. If, yeah. if they had an ISIS connection at all, I think that at this point you'd start telling the American people because it gives people a way to process this mass casualty.
We've got we have a call coming in from, do you want to save this one, Logan? Because I want to give Bob time. He's calling in from Vegas.
We can probably take it. We can go ahead. Let's go to Bob in Las Vegas on line one.
Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Jay? I appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, you know, the things that's just happened in the past, say, 48 hours. I guess the thing that kind of intrigued me more than anything else, I was thinking at first that, you know, he could have been one of these guys that, like, got fired from his job.
Yeah,
disgruntled with the government.
Yeah.
Because we do have a lot of stuff like that up north.
Yeah.
In our, you know, past where this guy was living, you know, he could have been. That was my first speculation of it all. The thing that really intrigued me, too, is just the carnage that he created, you know.
Bob, it was very sophisticated weaponry, but go ahead. What's the reaction right now? This is a horrible situation. What's the sense in the community?
I think, you know, we're mourning. I think a lot of people are just thinking that we're like, you know, we can't function in one respect, but Vegas, I was born and raised here, you know. Even when I left for the military, you know, we bounce back, you know. I mean,
well, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody there, Bob, and I appreciate you calling in. And we're going to hear from some other people out in Las Vegas, or I know we got calls coming in from Reno. Bob, we appreciate that. A lot of questions. We're going to keep digging on those questions on this broadcast. We're trying to go behind the headlines here and trying to piece together what it is that you'd be looking at in a situation like that. That's why we've got Andy Economo joining us for the entire broadcast. We'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Phone lines are starting to jam up. We do have a couple of those. Phone lines are, they're pretty much jammed up. But we can get comments in on social media as well.
Yeah, you keep trying to. You never know. 1-800-684-3110. One line's open right now. Just get your comments on social media. We'll take some of those during the show and during the break. But no, even if we don't read them out loud, someone on our team reads every single one of the comments that comes in via Facebook. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. So your voice is heard that way. We'll be right back.
By the way, the response in the people of Las Vegas on giving blood has been incredible. Really unreal.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
So here's what we know. The 64-year-old suspect who is now deceased, Stephen Paddock, police recovered, ready for this, 23 guns in his Las Vegas hotel room. Let me say that again. 23 weapons in his Las Vegas hotel room. When they went to his house, which is another crime scene, one of his houses, 19 guns from his house in Mesquite, Nevada, along with explosives and several thousand rounds of ammunition. Now, this comes despite the family saying that they knew of no infatuation with guns or any ammunition and that he had no religion or ideology. There are multiple crime scenes here, as we said, and those would include the concert area outside of the hotel, the room, the hallways, and as Andy said, you go to his houses, his car, his computer devices. All of those are very relevant here. All right, we've got calls coming in. We're going to analyze all this. We're trying to look behind the headlines and kind of say, how do you put these kind of cases together, what it is that you look at. Logan, let's go ahead and take a call.
Let's go to Pamela, who's calling in Reno, Nevada, on line two. You're on the air.
Hi, Pamela. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, we're all praying out here in Nevada, and this is just an incredible tragedy. My question is, and then I'll hang up so I can hear your response.
Okay.
What is the delay in getting the girlfriend back to the States so she can be questioned?
So this is the interesting question, both that the girlfriend was overseas when this happened, and they're reporting now Japan, where I'm sure we have extradition treaties if we have the capability, Andy, of putting her as part of the crime. I mean, this is, and let me play what the sheriff said from yesterday afternoon's statement. This is what the sheriff's official statement is.
We are continuing the investigation into that female. There are several questions that need to be answered, similar to what you propose, but she is currently out of the country. We are making arrangements to contact her upon her return.
So, Andy.
Yeah.
There's always, in every one of these incidents, I was a prosecutor, you were a prosecutor, there's always someone else that knows something.
Well,
and
I think
she would
knows.
Be an obvious one. This was the girlfriend who mysteriously is out of the country when this happens.
I've had cases in which we've had people overseas who were material witnesses. And what we do is we send out a lead to the embassy in that foreign country, to the legation of the United States. And sometimes an FBI agent will go out there and will actually find this person and see if she will talk to us. That's the first thing we've got to figure out, is if she's willing to talk. But I mean, this woman who is reputed to be his companion / girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, would be a key person to talk about the modus operandi and the mindset of this man.
Because the neighbors they interviewed, Jordan, have said that they don't know a lot about him. He just was very quiet, almost to the point of rude. Not nasty, but just kind of just very standoffish on this.
Yeah, that's right. Just not someone easy to get to know in a community. You know, in Florida, he was only there a couple times at the house.
Yes,
doesn't look like he had like tenants. I mean, right. or that's just not clear yet if he had like. But
no, he lived there, but only for days at a time.
Gave his key to a neighbor he barely knew, and said we're only going to be here, a couple of times. When he was there, was gambling huge amounts on video like online gambling with one of the neighbors. And so again, so he had some relationships in Florida, even though he was rarely there. And then in Nevada, those neighbors say he was aggressively standoffish, was how one of them described him. So that means kind of nasty look, don't come near me, I guess. I mean, but he had a girlfriend. He was not completely a loner. So that goes.
So you would go. So that's Andy, that's a person of interest, clearly,
yes,
right?
Yes, definitely.
And he's a country.
Yeah. And she's not in the United States at the time.
No, I mean, she's not subject to the compulsory service of the United States or any state, obviously. And she's got to be someone who's willing to be compliant and come forward and talk to us about what she knows about this man. That may or may not be the case. She may or may not do that. It may be implicating her if she does that. But I certainly would
want to
say— Can we
compel her to come back to the United States?
No, there's no—
What if there's evidence of her let's say the FBI or the local officials think she was somehow involved? What about extradition?
I'd have to look at the treaty that we have with the country that would be the rendering country right now.
Be very interesting. I want to check that out. I'm going to check that out right now. Let's get that looked at. What is our treaty extradition with Japan?
I mean, if you filed criminal charges against her in the United States, you may have to file the charges, which would be
Let's
difficult.
Have that looked at right now. I like to know. I mean,
there's conspiracy charges if you see all this weaponry at your home. And
the amount of weapons here is breathtaking.
And if there are explosives in the house. Now, they
explosives.
Went into the house.
Why?
They would have known if they were concealed or not.
But why explosives? Was the car wired? I mean, do we know the status
of
the car?
Doesn't appear to be, because I think that was something they would have told us. Right. I mean, they treated all of these.
But it wasn't just
like
guns. It was explosive device. I mean, that's where the hallmark of – that's the terrorist MO, which, again, this guy does not fit the physical –
But then he has bombs.
And ideological aspect of it. He's not a younger guy. He doesn't seem to have an ideology. They're seeing pictures of his house. They've got – I mean, he's in a very nice retirement community there in Reno. And, again, 23 weapons – found inside the house. I mean, it is rather, it's just absolutely breathtaking. But we're gonna get that information. Let's go ahead and take another call, Logan, if we can.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Drew, who's calling in Florida on line one.
Hi, Drew, go ahead.
Hey, I first off, I want to thank you for the show because you've gone beyond the gun control debate that every other show is about.
Yep.
But I feel like there was
apparently he got these guns legally. I mean, this wasn't where there was like illegal, as far as we know, there was no illegal black market weaponry here. It's just a tremendous amount of it, and ammunition and explosive. Now, the explosives would be interesting of those because those generally are not legal. But again, we don't know the scope of that. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Drew. Go ahead.
No. That's okay. And what I'm trying, my point is, look at the logistics. Look at the location of the suite he had in the hotel. I'd be interested in knowing who paid for that suite. Was it a comp suite? If you're a big time gambler,
yeah, he was a high roller.
Comp a suite like that. And something tells me that there's a possible ISIS connection there because the guy was probably in trouble gambling and getting some money from somewhere. I mean, money, when you're gambling to that extent, the money's coming from somewhere, and that whole thing was planned out.
I mean,
pretty successfully.
Yeah, you're right, Drew. I mean, let's say he was worth a few million dollars. Well, you're not gambling $40,000 a day if you're worth a few million dollars because your few million dollars would be gone in a year, and supposedly he was a big gambler. Now, if he could gamble $1,000 a day or $2,000 a day, five if he won some, if he was a professional, like they say, but 30, 40, if he was professional, yes.
Yeah.
If you're a professional gambler, oftentimes you do have sponsors, backers, you know, it doesn't appear that he had that. It's just nothing that we've heard about him has been confirmed.
And nothing, yes. So, Andy, when you've got, by the way, I've got the treaty. The answer on the treaty is, I'll give you the quick answer is, if there's a crime, we have an extradition treaty, Andy, with the Japanese government.
Okay.
So long as it's a crime in both countries. Clearly it is.
Clearly murder would be a crime in Japan.
But
you've
got to charge, I guess, to extradite. And
yes.
They don't know enough. They need to talk to her.
They need to talk to her. And she needs to be willing, hopefully, to come forward and tell us about this man. That's the important thing. She would be the key witness, in my view, because he appears to have been a loner, even with his family, except for this one connection that he had with this woman. And what is she doing in Japan at the time that he is in Las Vegas? Why is she there?
And it wasn't where he was not in contact with his family, because during the hurricanes, he had property and family in Florida, and he texted his brother a couple of weeks ago to see how the mother was doing.
Yeah, that's a strange occurrence.
He's not as complete disconnected from
this
his
is
family.
This is folks. This is why we're doing this broadcast to get behind this.
Obviously, if he even had that connection, this family had enough of a lack of connection.
Yeah,
personal to know. I wouldn't take the brother's word for on his personality at all. It doesn't seem like they've interacted much other than by text.
That. Yeah.
So. The fact that he didn't seem like to his brother like a gun guy. Well, the brother, you know, the money from the brother, they says millions. I think the brother may have had this tangent relationship, which shows he's not a complete break off from his family.
Yeah.
But I don't think they knew a lot about their brother.
All right, Logan, we're here for another 30 minutes. Got a lot of people watching on Facebook and Periscope, and we encourage people to get on.
That's right. If you don't get your second half hour, JSecu Live on your local station, or you want to change it up, find us broadcasting live right now, aclj.org, facebook.com/JSecu, Twitter @JSecu. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast. So on this broadcast, we're going behind the headlines on this mass shooting, this mass murder in Las Vegas, Nevada. What we do know is this. This was our 59 people are dead, 527 are injured. This was, of course, at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Suspect is 64-year-old Stephen Paddock. He is dead. Police recovered 23 guns from his hotel room in Las Vegas. He actually had a suite of hotel rooms in Las Vegas. Another 19 guns from Paddock's house in Mesquite, along with explosives and thousands of rounds of ammunition. It's also said that he fired at the officers through the door, so as they were trying to get in, a SWAT team broke the door down, but Paddock had already killed himself. He's a resident of Mesquite, Nevada, but he's got property in Nevada, in northern Nevada, in Texas, and in Florida. He's described as a former accountant, current real estate investor, an avid gambler. Family said he didn't have much of a gun interest as far as they knew, but meanwhile he had basically just under 50 weapons, including
explosives.
Explosives, yeah.
Go ahead. He was obviously into firearms, and so I think he may have had some light family connections based off texting to check on a mom after, you know, a 90-year-old mother after a hurricane. He didn't fly down to Florida to go check on her, though, or them after that. And he was, if he was a person of means, as his family said, you'd think maybe he would if he had that family connection. So I just take, I'm not taking, just with a grain of salt, everything that comes from that brother. Not because he's necessarily lying. I don't think he's lying. I just think
he doesn't know.
From what he knows about his brother, he was not a gun enthusiast. That does not mean he was not building an arsenal of weapons. He may not have been a gun enthusiast. He may not have really enjoyed firearms. There are people who are gun enthusiasts who are not carrying out attacks and doing things that are wrong. People listen to this broadcast. Yeah. So he may not have been a gun enthusiast. He was building an arsenal.
The police said there is no indication that any of the firearms that he purchased were purchased illegally, although the explosive devices raise a different question. There is the question of, and this is, again, that the he had no run-ins with law enforcement at all in Florida, Texas, or in Nevada. But, Andy, you mentioned the first half hour of the broadcast, the multiple crime scenes.
Right.
But you look at the modus operandi of what he did and the way he went about doing it. The calculation of this is
clearly methodical and intentional. I mean, there's no doubt that he was planning to do this. Look at all the things that he did that indicate the planning that is necessary in order to come up with an enterprise as horrific as this ultimately was. He did plan it out. He had all the capabilities that, and he picked a hotel room, what was it, on the 32nd floor so he could have a trajectory down upon this crowd of people. This was not just happenstance. This man was out to kill masses of people, and if he hadn't been prevented by law enforcement, he would have done just that.
So here's the question. You're trying to determine motive. You got the ISIS claim of credit, which makes you look at the individual and it doesn't fit that profile. What he did, they have used concert venues. They have used, of course, explosives. The explosives don't make a lot of sense with the weaponry. So there's a lot of things we just don't know. Here's what we do know. The people of Las Vegas, and this is, again, is an international city, are clearly suffering. And our thoughts and prayers continue to go out to them. And again, we're trying to look behind this and say, how do you investigate this? We're going to talk about his companion who was in Japan at the time that this happened. There is an extradition capability if she was charged with something, but if not, then it's just voluntary whether she would speak with officials or not.
And I mean, speak by a phone is not the same as being able to sit face to face with an individual and walk them through. So again, I think that all of this. I think the law enforcement needs to double down their efforts at both the state and federal level, because having this hang out there while the media, the 24-hour news cycle, pounds us with the imagery, pounds us with the information, but really just leaves us all with a lot of questions. And that's not good.
No.
That's not good for anybody that was involved. It's not good for the families, people who lost loved ones. Answers are our way to process what occurred. It's never, obviously, can you understand completely, but the lack of motive more than 24 hours into this is disturbing.
Yeah. Well, I know the FBI and the local law enforcement are working on this. We're trying to look behind it and give you an idea of what takes place in a situation like this. We'll be back with more, including your comments, at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're getting behind the issues here and trying to figure out, let you know how you go about investigating this. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls at 800-684-3110. We've got people coming and calling in from all over the country.
Let's go to Lori on line three first. Lori, you're on the air.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I just had a comment, a question, and then I'll hang up too. First of all, I just wonder if his 90-year-old mother's nightmare is finally coming true, because they talked about the father on TV.
Yep.
And I don't hear anybody talking about the father, about his psychiatric problems, and also that he actually, you know, did rob a bank or something.
Oh, yeah, and actually went after law enforcement to the point and escaped and was on the most wanted list. But this was in the 1960s when Paddock was young. And that, again, there's not a lot of information. I mean, there was information out about the father, but there doesn't seem to be a causal connection there.
No, I mean, that's the thing, is that his father was, again, a bank robber, was on the most wanted list because he broke out of prison, was described in his reports about him and his police reports about him as a potential suicide risk and psychopath. But if you were, it'd be bizarre to go 64 years of your life without any kind of violent, you know, incidents, without any issues with law enforcement. Now, he's had no issues with law enforcement in hometown in Nevada. I don't know if that means wherever he's, but I mean, he's 64 years old. He's lived in multiple places. So I think we need to hear.
They're saying no.
Yeah, he's not on anybody's radar.
Yeah, completely not on
anybody's radar. So a psychopath would, at this point in his life, would be. I mean, that's just the bottom line, is you don't hold it in for 64 years. His father didn't. So he may have grown up in a turbulent house. That probably would have been evidenced more, though, by activity at youth, not activity late in life.
Well, he was a retired accountant from Lockheed Martin. Andy, this is where you go back to your prosecutor, putting your prosecutor hat on here. Where would you start? I mean, you would start with the woman companion.
Oh, I would think she would be number one as far as I'm concerned, because she seems to be the person that was closest to him. At least that's what the indication is, the girlfriend, companion, whatever. Mary Lou Danley, whoever that is, reportedly in Tokyo in Japan right now. I'd want to talk to her about his habits and what she knows about him. And I don't know if he's got any prior marital history, does he? Do we know anything about that?
No, we do. Yes, he was married, but divorced years ago, two divorces years ago. Catherine Herridge, our friend from Fox News, just reported this about the possible FBI interview of Mary Lou Danley. This is the companion of Stephen Paddock. Here's what she said.
A law enforcement source told Fox News Danley could be interviewed overseas by an FBI representative known as a LEGAT, suggesting the Bureau cannot force her to return to the U.S. because she's not charged with any crime.
So what is a LEGAT?
It's part of what it's, and I've used that before, part of the United States legation, which is the embassy of the United States, has attached to it FBI agents that we can contact to send out. A legate is simply, or a legat is simply, a representative of the host United States government who we sent out to do an investigation. It's like following a lead is what it is.
Yeah, by the way, Paddock also worked for the IRS in the 1970s. We're starting to learn some of these facts. You want to take another call, Logan? You want to do a comment?
Yeah, let's take another call. Let's go to Steve in Virginia on line one.
Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Steve, go ahead.
Hey, I had a quick comment and a question that I hadn't heard brought up yet. How does one get 23 guns past hotel security in a hotel that should at least have enough security to be guarding the money in the downstairs casino?
Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, in Las Vegas in general, I mean, most hotels are not going through your luggage. They're not checking what you're bringing in. And especially in Las Vegas when there's so many conventions. And I mean, I've done countless, you know, multiple video shoots there where you're lugging tons of gear through the lobbies of these big casinos and hotels. It's honestly very commonplace in Las Vegas to see people with large amounts of...
It's also convention centers.
With the conventions, seeing lots of like hard cases and things like that. So, sadly, it's not something that probably would be very hard to do. And there really isn't security. I mean, yes, there's security, roaming security, but there's not like what you think of like airport security or something like bag scanners that happen in any really American hotel.
That's a very foreign... security at hotels. I know from a lot of traveling in India after the attacks in Mumbai there, the hotels were similar to ours. Unlike Vegas though, you know, Vegas, the hotels attract in the public. They say, come inside, gamble here, come see what, you know, our displays that we've got. I mean, you know, it's different. The hotels are the tourist attractions. So, you don't have to be staying at the hotel to be welcome into the hotel. Multiple restaurants, lots of stuff to do. But overseas now, like in India, what you have to do, you go up to a gate, they check your car, even if you're in a taxi or a driver, from the hotel even.
Yep.
They check your car for explosives, not just the look, but they also do the test.
Yep.
And then when you, the gates open. They take your bags, they put your bags through, like at the airport.
Right.
A scanner, a way to look inside the bag to see if you had weapons or anything that looks a bit strange. You are separated from your luggage, taken right through just a normal magnetometer.
Yeah.
Within that time, though, it says, this will slow everything down. It actually makes the hotel check-in process, though, very quick. They're informed that you're here. So you start. Now, and then from the rest of your trip, all you do is go through the magnetometer, or if you're in a car, go through that check. But we haven't had to do that in the United States.
No, but as Logan said, that especially in Las Vegas, we've got so much production going on. There's a lot of – now, the number of rounds of ammunition he had, I mean, it looks like – I mean, Andy, what about that one?
I still want to know how he got the ammunition that he got into a hotel room.
I think he was there for 4 days. I don't think it all came in one time.
No.
You know, as Logan described, if this is a convention hotel, going in and out, taking your car, going back to his house. I mean, we need to find that out. Did he go back to his house 5 times to keep loading up? Why were there explosives in his car? Did he really think he was going to continue? Did he think he was going to continue this attack? It didn't appear that way. It appeared that he was kind of knew this was suicidal, because if the reports are true, he stayed in the room. He didn't try to run off from the room. His car was immediately – I mean, this car was a car that had explosives, so you talk to the valet, because you don't park your own car at those hotels. The valet would have parked it. Were they all hidden away? I mean, there were explosives in that car. Was he trying to do something that just didn't work? I mean, we don't know any of these answers. But we know is that the devices were there. The arsenal was there. The explosive devices were there. And he obviously kept enough weaponry at home as if he was going to have like a standoff even back home, possibly, like a place to reload.
Well, he had 19 weapons at his home, or 23 weapons at his home, plus explosive devices. So this is a pretty breathtaking number of...
Like, he was ready to go back and re-up and like, fight, you know that they were coming for him, know that he'd die, but go in a firefight.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call if we can, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to Joni, who's calling in New Hampshire.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey there, guys. I love your work.
Thanks.
A few questions thinking about how long he's been planning this. How long ago did he rent his hotel room? How long, over what period of time did he accumulate his guns? Does any red light go off in the security, Homeland Security office when someone buys 45 guns? Just questions.
Yeah,
like
the
that.
Question is how many, you know, it appears that the weapons he bought legally. We don't know the time frame. They haven't released the time frame. You've asked, by the way, really good questions. How did you accumulate this amount? Some of them appear to have been modified. What is the cost of getting them modified? These are all the things, Andy, and the investigators will now be looking at.
Everything that Joni asked, which are excellent questions, would be what I, as an investigator, would want to know. When was the hotel rented? How was it compensated? Was it free by the hotel? Was he on any kind of a screen? And you know, there's in the corridors, there's tapes, videotapes of people walking. They're going to want to look at all those videos.
I think the idea of finding out how many times you went to the car, did the car go back to the house? Yeah, yeah. All of that becomes, you get a cell
security,
phone record.
Yeah, there should be cameras.
Of course.
Everything. Security cameras.
Yes,
everywhere.
Especially in Las Vegas. Yeah. Was he actually gambling there? They would definitely have that on camera. Now, that's where most of the cameras are, is in and around the casino. Yeah. It's not like their guards are going around like armed guards. They may be armed, but you know what I'm saying? It's not that kind of feel.
No, not at all.
As is in most hotels, including the hotels in our major cities in the United States, Washington, D.C., New York, you walk right in. If you start screaming and shouting, you would be thrown out. But if not, you can go eat at the restaurant. I mean, you know, they're not clubs. They want people to spend money at their establishments.
I think the biggest issue right now for law enforcement is determining motive.
Yeah.
Because this is, and speaking to the Mary Lou Danley, the purported girlfriend who's in Japan right now, is critical. And as Andy said, the FBI can do that, but she does not have to cooperate, correct?
No, she
does
not.
She has her privileges.
She has a right to say nothing and to refuse to talk to them. Even if it's in the United States, she has the right to do that and may ought to. She might have been a part of this, and she perhaps ought to exercise whatever rights she has not to say anything, but I hope she'll talk.
We'll find out soon, hopefully. All right, we're going to take calls when we come back, Logan, and some comments,
right.
too.
Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting live and get your comments in online on ACLJ.org. You can get your comments in on social media, Facebook.com/JSeculo. You can tweet us at JSeculo, at Jordan Seculo, at Logan Seculo, at ACLJ. And we're broadcasting live on all those outlets as well.
All right, we'll take, as Logan said, more of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. And again, our thoughts and prayers for the people that were in Las Vegas. That can include people from all over the world. And for those that are still in the hospital, praying for recovery. And also, of course, a huge thank you to the first responders who really did an incredible job. The carnage is horrific here, but it could have been many, many times that based on the location of this incident. So a lot more to talk about. We've got a segment coming up, 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment, we're obviously looking behind this horrific crime act that took place, criminal act that took place in Las Vegas, and try to give you an analysis from those of us that have prosecuted cases and defended cases. How is this all put together? And I hope we've been at least enlightening you on the process. Doesn't take away from a moment the nature and scope of this tragedy, which is absolutely horrific. Let's go ahead and take as many calls as we can, Logan, in the segment.
All right, let's go to Tiffany, who's calling in line two in Illinois, in Windsor, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi. Hey. Thank you so much for your time and your heart. You guys are amazing. Two questions, and I'll hang up and let you answer. They're unrelated. The main one, I just wondered, I know you've alluded to the fact that he had so many explosives. I'm wondering if there's any reason to believe that he had a much bigger plan, like to take the whole hotel down, you know, the suicide with the bombing there, or were the explosives only in the vehicle?
We don't know
what
we
mean.
Raised during the break for our Facebook and Periscope audience this question of the guns he made. It appears that he got most of these weapons legally, but explosives are very regulated, and you don't just get access to them.
He
clearly said something else in mind.
Yes, I mean we don't know the extent of these explosives. We've not gotten a description of what law enforcement means by explosives found. Was it enough explosive to build to take down a hotel? They have not described anything like that so far. What they described was something I'm imagining much smaller, though they haven't told us. I mean, there's a reason why, I hope anyways, that there's a good reason why law enforcement is holding back so much information about. They're giving us these terminology, which leads, unfortunately, to broad speculation, because when you say explosives, That's more than 3 days of premeditation. That is, again, just multiple days, potentially.
Well, and Andy, so what are the? We'll take some more calls here. But what are the police looking at? Right, they're trying to figure motive. Right, I mean that's the first thing here.
Well, certainly the thing we want to know is why did he do what he did. That's the first thing that we always want to know is just the simple what was it that impelled him to act the way that he did in this mass type of situation. And you do that by asking questions.
Well, okay, go ahead. We do.
So it looks like he did have the kind of amounts, or he used the same kind of explosive devices as Timothy McVeigh. So enough to take down a hotel.
Ammonium nitrate.
Enough to destroy a lot of it. I mean, that's a huge property. But was that part of his plan? Or,
we don't know.
Or, and did he just not make it to the car? But then he...
Well, yes, the question of how many... It'd be interesting and important to find out, and I'm sure they're looking at this. How many... Did he make other trips to his residence, which was only 80 minutes away, come back out? How many times did he exit and enter the hotel?
They should have every time.
All of that should be taped. All of that with his cell phone coverage should know where it is. Let's grab another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Dennis in Tennessee on line six.
Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Real quick, as far as the explosives, what I've heard is he had tannerite, which is not highly controlled. It's kind of like a special effects stuff. But
also he had several pounds of ammonium nitrate as well. So he did both, yes. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, the mainstream media has messed this up so much. The first thing I heard yesterday morning when they announced who it was a guy with a long criminal background. Well, that's not true.
They did say that.
They did
and
say
that, yeah.
No,
and
no,
they
no,
said,
no.
Well, he was killed by the police. No, he killed himself. No, this and that. None of them will take the time to verify anything.
The media jumped on this as, look, this was a major event. I'm not going to defend the media here because they've been wrong on so many of these points. But the FBI has been very cautious on the whole terrorism issue, which because of the nature of this, there's so many patterns it doesn't fit.
I think the media misreported that, too. They said that the FBI came out and conclusively said no link to terrorism. That is not what the FBI said. They said they don't have any evidence at this time. They have no evidence of terror. That's a big difference. Mm-hmm. That goes to that misleading headlines we used to go through. That's a misleading headline. That's a misleading point. Is they have not given us anything definitive. All we have heard about is his guns, the amount of weaponry he had, and some things about the explosives we had, and the individual that was living with him, girlfriend, whatever, partner, who has now fled the country. That's basically all law enforcement's told us.
Yeah.
Is the number of weapons that he had, explosives, and then he had this individual living with him who's not in the country.
But you would have, in a situation like this, it wouldn't just be the FBI and DOJ. It'd also be the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
ATF, which is part of Treasury, yes, would be looking into this. Anybody that has any jurisdiction would be looking into this and needs to be looking into this.
Let's grab this call out of line three, Logan from Las Vegas.
Yep, Bob in Vegas, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, listen, on the local news last night, they said that this Mary Lou was the legal owner of the house in Mesquite. Wouldn't that put a different wrinkle on getting her back in the United States?
No, and I haven't had that. I've not heard that. I heard that he was the owner, but it wouldn't make any difference. It's still, Andy, a crime scene.
That's
because
right.
It is a place where he resided. And, of course, when they went in, but they got a search. Understand, they didn't just walk in. They had to get a search warrant.
That's right. They had probable. They had to show some magistrate probable cause to believe that a crime had been committed and the fruits and the instrumentalities of the crime were located at that particular scene, and they did it the right way. And so far as I can see from what I've looked at up to now, they've done their investigation in the proper fashion, following the proper criminal procedures that you need to do.
Yep.
All right,
Logan.
Let's try to take a couple more calls. Let's go to Nancy, who's calling California Line 5.
Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Kind of like what the previous caller was mentioning, you know, with the bombs and stuff in the car, did he possibly plan to, you know, make this happen elsewhere and then saw the concert and kind of figured, hey, I'm going to get a bunch of people here, you know, and their minds are just not with it at that point in time.
Well, so this was pretty, this was a guy who was a known gambler. He'd been in this facility before. He knew what floor to be on. He knew what the concert was going on. So, and he was there days before.
While the concert was going on. So it was a festival. So he had watched to see, like, what time it ended. This was during the final performance. If he was an hour later, people wouldn't have been there, you know? Right. I mean, this was midway through the final performance, not at the beginning. So he had, like, watched each night, taken the time to understand. I mean, which is not so impossible to figure out, but means that there was a lot of premeditation. I think the second question is, did he plan on fleeing? And that's why he had these arsenals both. He had, you know, explosives in the car and then arsenal back at home. Yeah. Or was he just using that to continue and see how many weapons can I get in 3 days into this room?
Let's go ahead and take the last call here.
All right. Stacy is calling on line four in Greenville, South Carolina.
Hey, Stacy, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for having
me.
You know, one of the most valuable things that comes with any investigation or any intelligence you're looking at is human intel.
That's right.
And the guy was a high roller by all accounts.
Yep.
And there has to be a number of people who got a read on him or know more about him than what we're hearing from the media at this point.
So there's always any investigation. I've prosecuted cases. I've been a defense lawyer. In any investigation, there's always someone else that knows information. Now, but you point out a very, very good point, and that is, if he was frequenting that particular facility, was he known by the hotel staff? Was he known by other people? And Andy, those are all the things I'm sure that are being looked at right now.
That's what the investigators are looking at right now to determine these details that you have to look at. And I think the video surveillance cameras are really critical here because they're going to show the comings and goings
of
this
Logan,
man.
What kind of video surveillance would a hotel like that have?
I mean, they should have a lot. I mean, you're talking about, Jordan said, yes, a lot of video surveillance will be on the casino floor, but I have a feeling there are
every
cameras in every, probably every elevator. And probably every floor.
Every part of the floor, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like every corner that
these
you go
These are highly
around.
Secure places because it's not like Las Vegas isn't known for having some crime issues.
Yeah, it's usually just more penny level.
Right, exactly. So trust me, they have a lot of stuff to go through.
All right, well, that does it for the broadcast today. We'll be obviously following this all week. Our prayers and thoughts, that's what we can say right now. To those that are trying to recover, to those that lost loved ones, we're praying for you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the broadcast.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.